In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The first couple Sundays of Advent, we spoke about what Advent means and how we are living into the reality that in Advent, God comes to us in history, mystery, and majesty. On Advent 1, we spoke of God coming in history, both in the nativity of Jesus Christ and in the second coming that we anticipate someday in the future. We also talked about how God comes into our own histories, into the realities and all the messy details of our lives. God is not just a historical figure. God is not just a religious or theological figure. God is present and active in your life and in mine, right in the midst of everyday, pedestrian, ugly, sometimes heartbreaking, and often embarrassing reality. In Advent, God comes in history. On Advent 2, we spoke of God coming in mystery. And the mystery we spoke of is the contrast we find between the Bible's promise of a peaceable kingdom, right, of a paradise in which God reigns, and the harsh realities of the life that we experience right here in the meantime. We talked about how God, for God's own reasons, often doesn't seem just to fix things the way that we would like God to do. Evil still exists. We still hurt. We still witness tragedy and wrongdoing all around us. We live in a miasma of war, of corporations more powerful than elected governments, of lies and vicious rumors. God chooses, as God comes in mystery, not to fix everything, but instead to be present with us in the mystery of suffering and death, even death on a cross. And so as Christians, we gather to worship specifically to encounter God in the midst of our challenging lives and to acknowledge and to actively receive God's presence with us in mystery. So today at Advent 4, I want to talk about God coming in majesty. And God's majesty is surprising because it is different from every other idea we've ever had about majesty. It's a kind of majesty that we weren't looking for, and it's all the more powerful and all the more majestic because it is so unexpected. In our first reading this morning, King Ahaz is trembling before the threatened onslaught of two other kings who are planning to attack him. And so Ahaz has given up on looking for God to save him. And instead, Ahaz has reached out to the king of Assyria to be his ally. And Ahaz thereby committed himself to serving that king, that majesty. All the ugliness of international politics, driven by the egos of men, is on display. And so God sends a messenger, the prophet Isaiah, to say to Ahaz, "Forget about Assyria. God has your back." But Ahaz isn't looking for God. Ahaz is not ready to encounter God. Instead, Ahaz has already committed to this new alliance that he is forging with a new lord. And so Ahaz tries to hide his real motives behind traditional religious piety, trying to put off God's promise by refusing to ask for a sign. In our gospel reading, we have a story with some familiar themes, similar themes. This time, Jerusalem is not only being threatened, but has already been conquered by a foreign nation. And God comes to offer a kind of salvation that the people aren't even looking for. It's something that transcends, something that is bigger than international politics. God came to Mary in the Annunciation, the announcement that she would be the mother of Jesus. And you may remember, that Mary, at that point in her life, was not actually looking to get pregnant. Especially while she was engaged to another man. And so Mary pushed back at first, saying, how can this be? Not recognizing this crazy new thing that God was doing in her life. Today, we read about Joseph, who wasn't really looking for a pregnant fiancé, whom, as the Bible so delicately puts it, he had not lain with yet. Joseph pushes back. Both Mary and Joseph were looking for God, but they were so shocked by the way that God approached them that they didn't recognize God at first. And so for Ahaz and Mary and Joseph, all three, the sign of God's coming was the birth of a vulnerable little baby. This was the revelation of God in majesty. Now, in popular culture, we tend to think of the voice of God as a booming, disembodied voice, always male. Right? Bobby Kramer would do a great God, right? Comes from the sky. But for Ahaz and for Mary and Joseph, the coming of God in majesty is the voice of a little baby with dirty diapers, spitting up, maybe colic. And so we can spend a whole season, maybe the season of Advent, preparing ourselves for the coming of God, and yet the question still remains, will we recognize God when God comes to us? In Vestry this week, we were discussing the words of Jesus at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And we talked about staying rooted in Jesus and how that rootedness will inevitably bear fruit through us, ready or not. Sort of like Mary. One of the hardest things for me to remember about life as a Christian is that it's not something that I can accomplish. As Ahaz and Mary and Joseph show me, God's coming in majesty and doing something life-changing is often going to be something that I have great difficulty recognizing or even imagining. God is that much bigger than I am, and God's ways are that much higher than my ways. And that's why the work that we do together here at church, the work that we do privately in our homes with our own devotional practices, these things are not about appealing to God or trying to earn God's favor. Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago in a permanent, irrevocable proclamation of God's grace for you. Instead, we do our religious thing in an effort to be ready to recognize God's coming in majesty. We gather together, we encourage one another, we point out to one another little hints, little foreshadowings, the beginnings of the recognition of God coming in majesty. We worship, we proclaim, we hear Holy Scripture in an effort to acclimate ourselves to the ways of God, to begin to grasp in the deepest parts of our hearts the patterns of God's activity, so that maybe, just maybe, when God comes in majesty in your life and in mine, as God does every day, we might not wholly reject God as Ahaz did. But instead, maybe we might be ready, like Mary, to turn and say, let it be unto me as you have said. Or like Joseph, to ignore the scandal and the outrage of our neighbors, who just don't understand why we would live according to a pattern so foreign to what seems natural, and instead choose to show love to that which the world would scorn as an unfaithful lover. But God has declared Theotokos, the very bearer of God. In Advent, God comes in history, mystery, and majesty. And the coming of God in majesty in our lives is no simple or easy thing. I dare say it is not something that most of us are likely even to recognize at first glance. God is other. And the things we get so wrapped up in, politics, culture, religion, these are unlikely to be the things that matter to God at all, except in how those things help us to convey our love and concern for one another, the dignity of every human being. We are powerless to receive God on our own. Thanks be to God, God does not require a bassinet approved by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Any old feed trough will do. God comes in majesty, in ways that we were not looking for, in ways that we were not ready for, in ways far more powerful than we are capable of imagining. But even as we open our hands and our hearts in the Eucharist today, God comes in majesty. And to the degree that we can manage somehow not to reject God outright, our lives are being changed forever. Amen.